You're listening to Aligned and Unfiltered with Daniela, Demi, and Ness. We're making spirituality real, raw, and relatable.
Like, no shit's given on my part. I'm like, just talking through the fucking intro. Hey, guys.
Hello,
oh my god,
people.
We're so unprofessional.
We don't even care. But it's like,
I live for
we're
it.
Not, though.
It
makes we're just unfiltered.
I do like that reframe. Well, I feel like we've done that a few times though, where we just
don't
start,
give a fuck.
Do you know what? From this point forward, everybody can just try to figure out what we're talking about prior to starting.
Yeah, because what did I just say? Do I have any more tug room on this?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what she said.
That's what she said.
We're talking about a cord. I'm looking at you two now and I, like, you know what I want to do? I want to build a stack of books underneath your microphone so that it's mouth level.
It is mouth level.
Okay.
I need this and then I think I'm good.
So we're trying something different today. We're literally sitting on the floor around a coffee table and we're just making it work.
Yeah, this works.
Okay.
Cool.
Cool. So hey.
Hey everyone.
Hey guys.
We're doing some big talks today, aren't
yeah.
we?
Yeah, we are. We're going through, we're going to move through a little bit of generational trauma because we all love it. We all have it in one way or another, whether
true.
It looks like conditioning or actual trauma.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, not that conditioning isn't trauma, but you know
even
I mean?
Just the way your nervous system reacts to specific things.
Yeah.
Sometimes that is directly sent across to you via your parents.
Inherited.
Yeah.
Yeah, inherited traits.
Yeah,
I like that.
Ooh. Good job. Yeah, there's so much. And I think it's become, I mean, I know within my own community, it's become such a interesting conversation lately as well. People are becoming quite intrigued by this idea of, well, hold on a second, what's mine?
Yeah.
Well, it's so relevant. I think it's relevant for everyone, but especially you doing womb work.
Yeah.
And understanding like how out like generations before us actually affect our connection to, especially like, you know, as females, our connection to our cycle and our body.
For sure.
Very and interesting.
It is interesting. And I mean, it doesn't male or female, we all receive through the womb at some point. So well, and our DNA as well. So that generational trauma makes its way to us regardless.
Yeah, we carry it in one way or another.
Can't escape this bitch.
Yeah.
<It's> like
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's our theme, and we're just gonna flow with it.
Yeah. So if we start with what is generational trauma? Oh, you already touched on it. I'm not multitasking
well,
anymore. I was just on my phone.
If we want to have like a set definition, I guess generational trauma is really just anything, any kind of habits, patterns, or cycles or trauma in itself that we carry with us that have been passed down generations. So things that we've received from our parents, from our grandparents, that we are now working to break to create a better life for ourselves. That's probably the easiest way to say it.
Yeah.
A more aligned life for ourselves.
Yeah.
Where we carry less shit.
Mm.
And also to know what it feels like to be ourselves without all of that extra shit that
isn't ours.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Because what I find really interesting is, say for example, let's use the example of anxiety. I'll use a personal example. So knowing and realizing or making that connection and understanding that in this example, the anxiety that you hold within your body is actually the anxiety that was passed on and then like kind of bundled up into extra conditioning through the mother line. And it's not actually your anxiety that you're holding, but the anxiety of your mother, for example. Knowing that that's not yours is like, whoa, freeing. Because then when you move through the processes of doing that healing and that clearing, it's like, okay, hold on a second. This is how I can exist within my body without that.
Yeah. But it also becomes a little bit easier to help you move through the process of letting it go. Because it feels like, well, okay, this isn't a part of me. I actually do have the power to release it, and I can move through those processes that help me to let it go.
Yeah. It feels like a weight off the shoulder type thing.
Yeah.
Okay. What's coming through?
It's like my thing is like, well, like the question's coming to mind like from other people to say, well, how do you know if you have it? Or like, how do you know what generational trauma you have? And my thing is like, we'll go back as far as grandparents just for simplicity's sake.
Yeah.
Think about what your grandparents went through growing up. Did they move countries?
Yeah.
That's so
did they did they experience did they, war?
Did they move through a war period?
Yeah, like war famine period. And
Indigenous people in Australia, exactly. what did your grandparents go through? Some horrific shit, probably.
Yeah.
So have a think about what your grandparents actually went through and what their stresses were, what their everyday life was, and that is probably what you've inherited. Because I think that doing the work on yourself has become a lot more mainstream now, which we're pretty lucky to experience. Back then... Well, from my perspective anyway, back then was really about surviving and trying to do the best by your kids and give them the best of everything that you could, knowing what you did and having gone through that really crazy experience. Because I don't know, a lot of, if I can think of like the people around me, all of their grandparents like went through shit.
Yeah. I just thought of the perfect example.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I feel like there are going to be a lot of people that relate to this as well. When I think back to my nonna, she's told me stories of when she was a little girl, her dad was in the war. They went through a war period. They went through periods of starvation where they had no food whatsoever. And as a little girl, she has vivid memories of having to eat grass.
Oh my God.
Literally just to survive. Like she, I mean, I don't know what her translation of grass would be. It might have been like, you know, uncooked root vegetables, for example, whatever it might have been, but there was minimal food and they had to really, really, really work through that. She came here with my nonno in the 60s or late 50s, early 60s. They restarted their lives and they did everything to support their kids to have a better life. Mm. Now, growing up, my nonna would cook and cook and cook and cook because she had access to food, access to money, which she never had growing up. And with her thing was always, you never ever ever leave your plate with food still on it, right?
Never chuck out food.
Never throw out food. You hold on to everything. Like when I tell you, this woman still to this day will go to a restaurant and she'll have like napkins in her bag ready to go to put the food on the plate, right? Because as a child, she went through those periods of starvation. So now, moving into adulthood and then, you know, even in her elderly years, she still has that belief that, she's still in scarcity mode. We never, ever, ever throw food out. Now, me growing up and having that belief that we never throw food away, even though I didn't personally relate to those circumstances, I never went hungry. I never starved. I always had food when I wanted it and when I needed it. But I was conditioned to believe that you don't throw food out. And with that conditioning, moving into adulthood, we have to look at, okay, well, what's your relationship with food like now?
Wow.
And I've always had a really difficult relationship with food. And when you look back, you understand where it comes from. It comes from that belief that we never throw food out, that food is scarce, that if it's there, you eat it.
Yeah.
When really it should be, well, I know that I'm fortunate enough to have food whenever I need it, but I don't always have to have it.
Yeah.
So even something as simple as that belief that you don't ever, like you never leave food on your plate, because who gets to dinner, honestly, who has been in, has had a time in their life where they're at the dinner table and they're like, oh, there's still food on my plate, but I'm so full. But like you force yourself to finish it because it's there, right? Yeah. Rather than listening to your body saying, that's enough, you're full, it's time to stop eating.
It's like guilt for leaving food on your plate.
It's guilt for leaving food. And that's that that is an example of generational trauma, because that trauma of scarcity has been passed down and turns into a conditioned belief with that lineage. Right?
I can definitely relate to that.
And
I like, there are a lot of people whose grandparents would have migrated as well and had that experience for themselves growing up, and now they you might be listening and not even realize that you do that with food, but that might trigger a thought to say, actually, hold on, I do that.
Do you know something else I can think of as well is like habits around alcohol as well? Like using alcohol to cope with overwhelming emotions, and then when people see their grandparents and their grandparents, you know, abusing alcohol in order to cope with difficult emotions, and that just becomes the normal thing to do.
The conditioning that kind of comes with that as well, the learning.
Or even money.
Money
is a huge
Where as this as soon as you get your as soon as you get your paycheck or whatever, it's like, well, I don't know when the next time I'm gonna have money is, so I better spend it all. Like I might,
or having guilt around spending money.
Guilt around it, not spending at all, not not living.
Well, should we clarify then how exactly it gets passed down? Like, would that, because we've said in passing conditioning, I think conditioning is a really, really big one. And just think about when you were growing up as a young person, how much you're absorbing and taking in, and all of the learnings that you have in those early years. You're witnessing your, if you were in a household with both parents or one parent or grandparents or whoever it was, whatever the household looked like, you were learning constantly from what was happening around you. And those things that you learned become your values and beliefs without you really knowing that they become your values and beliefs. So you hold all of that from a young age, and that carries in through your subconscious into your adulthood. And so you then as an adult are making decisions and movements and choices and whatever with all of those learnings guiding them in the background without you realizing that you're making those decisions because that's what you saw your dad do, or that's what you saw your mom or your grandmother do, and you're following through with that because that's what you know. Right? And then that's then separate to the extra generational connection and attachment that you get from the womb space. And I know we've spoken about it on here many times before, but if we're talking about womb specifically, when your grandmother was pregnant with your mum, you were already an egg within your mum's womb space, right? So what Demi was saying earlier with whatever your grandmother was experiencing while she was pregnant, that energy has passed through into your mum, which then has passed through into you. And so everything is connected. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't matter, like we said earlier, male, female, it doesn't matter, because you think about sperm, the energy that is then pushed, everything is energy. So everything is connected. And it literally, in my mind right now, looks like a really bright cord that is just connecting everyone. And it's... Have you ever done that energy work, like timeline therapy, where they get you to imagine that red thread or that cord that's connecting you to like all of the women in your line? Have you done that before? It's so fucking interesting. It's really interesting to visualize that connection and that cord, and you feel it in that moment when you're doing that. I mean, I don't feel it right now, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just so interesting to know that there are so many ways that this gets passed on to us. And it's real. You feel it. It impacts literally everything.
Do you know what? I'm going to make a big call.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, I actually, the more that I'm thinking about this, the more that I'm starting to believe, well, I mean, it's probably already the truth, but the fact that our conditioning is actually trauma.
As in
conditioning, the way that we've been conditioned. So, for example, like if I've been conditioned to never leave food on the plate, if I've been conditioned to like, apologize every single time somebody comes over and says, oh, excuse the mess, you know. Oh, like all those relatable. all those little things, yeah. Right?
Oh my God, yes.
We don't realize we do it. But they're things that like, okay, well, if you have to say excuse the mess, for example, yeah. you've been conditioned to feel embarrassed about yes. your home space, right? Like little things, right? Is that not all in itself trauma?
For sure.
Because it's creating like a little dent in our confidence or our nervous system. Do you know what I mean?
It's like little T trauma. Yeah.
And because trauma is really such an umbrella term as well. Like trauma, there's levels to trauma.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think if we look at it from that perspective and we're like, okay, there are so many different levels to trauma, then yeah, for sure that makes sense. Wow, that hit hard when you said like, excuse the mess. I went through that phase, like little things that we've been conditioned to
do it because it's like, well, if you don't say that, then you're not aware that you've got a mess. I have a fucking mess in my house. I have an almost 2-year-old that doesn't stop. Yeah. But
even if you don't have kids in your house, like you're living. Why is it the expectation that you need to always be like quote unquote presentable?
Spotless.
Who gives a fuck?
I've shared this story with you and my mom doesn't care. Like she honestly doesn't care that I shared this stuff. So I'm going to share it. But I can pinpoint. So I carried that conditioning of the house needs to look a certain way. And I went through the whole flow of apologizing and whatnot. And I can pinpoint why and when in my mum's experience of her like adulthood, that trauma happened for her to then make her become like so intense with making sure everything's presentable and looks a certain way. Mm. Literally, this is what happened to mum. She had just moved into her, she just got married. Mum and dad got married at 21 years old. And they
Which is really young as it is.
It is young. Yeah, I was – oh, wait, no. Mum and dad got married at 20 and I think I existed at 21 or 22. Anyway, whatever. It was young. So mum and dad, they got married super young. They moved into their new house. They're all excited. They've been together since they were 14. So it was like, you know.
Oh, my God, that's
wild. Yeah, they've like literally been together for ages. Anyway, mum got up on Saturday morning and – it was early, it was before 8 a.m. and she's changing the sheets, okay? So you know when you change the sheets, there's shit fucking everywhere, right? That's part of the process. So she had the dirty sheets on the floor, she had the quilt everywhere, pillows everywhere, whatever. She's changing the sheets and doing her morning clean. And there was a knock on the door.
Oh, no.
And it was the
– I love, like, the live commentation as well.
No, because I'm visualizing and I can see it happening.
Oh, God. There's a knock on the door and it's the local priest, right?
So
he's coming to check on them and have conversation, have, like, a cup of tea and whatever.
Bro, as
what,
you do.
What business do you have rocking up at someone's house before 8 o'clock? The audacity of this guy.
Like, I know, right? And this, imagine, this is like in this day and age, that's like someone calling before a certain time. Yay. Anyway, he rocks up to check in on mum and dad and his comment to mum, so he walks in, he sees the sheets and stuff everywhere and he's like, what's going on here? Like, why is it such a mess? And mum's like, oh, it's just, you know, Saturday morning, I'm changing the sheets. And he said, you really need to get your house in order. It should not be looking like this.
Oh.
Especially when people can come past at any time. Right?
I'm paraphrasing.
But that was the like gist of the conversation. No,
that is so dirty.
And he made my mom feel like shit for doing something that was just like a normal human. Household chore. Anyway, so my mom,
I'm angry.
My childhood memories of mum is, and my mom worked, like she worked and raised us at the same time while dad was working. Like everyone worked in the household. So she was up at 5 a.m. every fucking day to clean the house.
No.
So that by 6 a.m. when like the day would begin for everyone else, the house is clean and presentable just in case. And then before she would go to bed, she would clean the house again. So she'd double clean. So she'd do the other like quick clean because like obviously we trashed the place by the end of the day. She'd clean again. And all of that was because of that.
That's dirty.
Do you know what I mean? That's and then so dirty. Growing up, we're like, okay, the house has to always fucking be clean. So then you carry that.
Oh my gosh. That, I've heard that story before and it just fucking infuriates me.
Yeah. Do you know what? Do you know what I've just thought as well? when it comes to our generational trauma, a lot of it doesn't even have to be taught behavior. Like a lot of it can be in passing, right? So think about this. What did you see with your parents growing up? Did you see, like, what was the relationship with your parents like? And this is going to probably hit for a few people that are listening, but how did your parents treat each other? Did your parents have a healthy relationship in terms of open communication, open affection, like, or were they very kind of standoffish, cold to each other, constant arguing? Because growing up, if you're in a healthy relationship, you might think that it's not healthy because there's no, like, hold on, let me reword that.
I know where you're going with this.
You know where I'm going, but yeah. I'm going to reword it anyway. So yeah. If you saw your parents constantly arguing, for example, growing up, then that inherited trauma is, oh, arguing equals love. So if you're in a relationship that is actually really toxic and unhealthy where you're constantly arguing, your belief is that that's healthy because you love each other. Whereas if you're actually in a healthy relationship and there's no arguing, you might sabotage that because you don't feel like it's a healthy relationship because all you ever knew was arguing. You might think, oh, there's no passion here. We actually don't get, like, I don't love this person, or when's the do you know what I mean? So it doesn't always have to be,
and then think
taught.
Of the self-sabotaging that happens within relationships after that, because it's like you're looking for nitpicking something to chase that argument or to chase that extra passion, quote unquote.
And then it's like, oh well, why can't I ever find my person? Well, what are you carrying with you that's passed down?
And what's your definition of a healthy relationship?
That's so interesting.
Or if you saw, like, if you didn't have, like, that relationship where for example, one of your parents didn't know how to express, didn't know how to open up and communicate, and everything was always, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it, you're fine. I'm thinking of all those really big things that we don't realize we carry.
Yeah.
How do you express your emotions?
Yeah.
How do you open up? Or do you bottle everything in because you've been made to feel as though you can't express yourself?
Do you know another thing that I can think of as well is, you know, when kids are crying and then your instinct is to be like, oh, don't cry.
Yeah. Oh, no, I never do that. Yeah. I never do that.
But my instinct is to do that, and I have to stop myself because it's like kids are allowed to cry.
Yeah.
Like crying isn't a bad thing, but like.
But then you're thinking of your conditioning as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why it feels instinctual. Instinctual.
Yeah.
For you to respond in that way, but you stop yourself because you know that.
Crying is healthy.
Yeah.
My instant thing is like, it's okay. I know you're sad. I know you're upset. It's okay. Like, what do we need to do? And, like, you know, the comfort. Yeah. That's what kids need to hear.
Yeah.
So it's our job to firstly acknowledge and identify those habits and those patterns. So once we've identified them, we need to figure out, what are we doing to change the story? What are we doing to break that cycle? Mm. If it means you have to catch yourself on all of those thoughts, if it means that you have to rephrase what you're about to say, if it means that you actually need to apologize for your taught behavior, then you need to do so. You need to own that, because that's what we're here for. We're here to break those cycles. We're literally here to rewrite the story for the generations that are coming after us.
And literally, as shit as it may feel, like, this has been part of your journey for a reason. So there's no point trying to resist it and feel guilty for it. Like, what's done is done. Own it and move forward.
Do you know what I'm seeing in my mind? If we want to make this more visual for people if I can hear in my mind people struggling to think and getting annoyed that they can't figure out what their trauma is. Oh, you know, a way to visualize this is, take a step back and look at your family. Oh my God, eating again into the fucking mic. And they're grapes as well. They're so crunchy.
Juicy.
You know when you're like at a family event and you can look at, I'm just going to use an example of siblings, right? And you can see how the siblings or a particular person within that family has literally followed the footsteps of one of the parents. Yeah. Like they act the same way. They do the same things. They make the same choices. They talk about the same things. And then you start to see their children acting that exact same way. You know what's coming into my mind? You know when you see like there's some like sort of hot tea happening, like there's some gossip in the fam, and you see the way that the grandmother, the aunties, and then like the older daughters start to like sit in their little circle and have the deep conversation about like whatever the goss is, and you see everyone bouncing off each other in that way. Yeah. It's like, hold on a second. Can we not see that we're literally running on this like – this hamster wheel and re-spinning this toxicity, and we're acting the exact same way in this cyclical way, and nothing is changing? Because we know that with gossip, for example, in that example, that's just a reflection of like how we're feeling inside. It's revealing something there. But if we're acting the same way, or if you're noticing patterns starting to pop up between like all of these people within your family, there's a reason why it's a pattern.
Yeah. Actually, one thing when you just said gossiping, something that just came to mind.
Yeah.
On top of that, there's a very big difference between gossiping and venting.
I was literally just
thinking. Right. Yeah, massive.
There's a huge difference. So if you're like, gossiping is like, oh, did you hear about this person?
Yeah.
Right? Like the whole, oh my God, what a slut. Like the gossiping, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if somebody has done something to directly, you know, impact you as a person, and you're expressing that to someone else, that's not gossiping, that's you expressing.
Yeah. Look at the way you're wording it though.
Yeah.
Like as an adult who's expressing, if you're saying this is how it's made me feel because da 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 da, that's very different wording to like, well, like fuck this because da 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 said this, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. Bringing everybody in. And
and like having, what did I hear once? And I was like, that really sat with me. It's like, if you turn to, say for example, I'm feeling something, and I turn to you, Demi, and I you hold the space for me, and I'm expressing to you how I'm feeling. But then I'm like, I've had that. I like that conversation was great. We did what we needed to do. But then I go and call Ness, and then I call my mom, and then I call my sister, and then I call Andrew. And it's like, hold on a second.
Yep.
You're past that space of expressing. Oh, hot cross buns are ready.
Is that the oven?
It smells so good.
Okay, you guys take over because the smell is too good.
Yeah, there's a difference. There's a very, very clear difference between expressing to vent and to get it off your chest, as opposed to I'm gonna gossip because like I want everybody to be involved in my drama.
That just got me thinking as well. And if you are feeling the need to vent, like that's where boundaries come in as well. It's like asking the other person if they have capacity, or being like, look, can I share something that's been sitting heavy with me, because I'm feeling like shit right now and I just need to talk about it.
Because more generational trauma, we've been taught to literally just like, you call someone and you dump shit on them without even thinking about it, right?
Yeah.
And another thing that's come through, because it's like everything's all over the place in my brain at the moment, but also when we come to generational trauma, what are your fears? Oh, another great potum. I'm going to explain in a second, but listen to this crunch. Oh my God, as if that wasn't satisfying.
Those grapes are so good.
Mm. Hold on, grape break for a sec, but I'm going to go on. Aligned and unfiltered. Okay, so what are your fears? What fears as an adult do you hold on to? And how can you see those fears within your family? So, do you have a fear of being abandoned? If you have a fear of being abandoned within a relationship, did you get that fear from one of your parents? Do you have a fear of lack? Do you have a fear of being without? Do you have a fear of not having enough money, not being able to afford repayments on your house? Do you have a fear of not being able to provide for your children? Do you have a fear of illness? Like, looking at what you're actually afraid of can link directly back to your parents as well. So this is where we don't realize that everything is built up within, and it's all stored in our subconscious. So when we actually start to make those links between what we go through in our lives, especially as adults, and we put that side by side with our parents' lives, and we see what we've actually inherited from them, it can be much easier to move past that, because we've been able to acknowledge and identify where it comes from, and we know that we have the power to break that cycle.
I'm just like dying right now because my point of view is looking at you lying on the floor talking like you're like seriously in depth with what you're talking about, and then Danielle is in the back preparing our hot cross buns.
Like, this is real life.
Can you guys smile because I'm going to post this on our page.
Okay.
I love it.
Oh my gosh. What a mess. Although we're still recording and we're still recording.
Like, wait, can we just take a photo? Daniela, how are they?
Oh my gosh.
How are they? Yeah. Awesome.
She thinks they taste good.
Just I'm excited.
For a little bit of background. But yeah, I think that really sums up what generational trauma is, how we carry it. And moving forward, if you're wanting to really work through your own generational trauma, it can be as simple as identifying those blockages and rewriting your story by changing your actions, changing the way that you're speaking, catching yourself in those moments, and just being really self-aware with what you're doing.
And I also think that having compassion for the people who passed down the generational trauma to you, because honestly, like, we all do the best with what we have, and like your family did the, I mean, I know it's going to be different for people hearing this in different situations, but okay, I lost my train of thought because I just saw the hot.
It's going to be different for people in different
situations. It's going to be different for people in different situations, but like everyone is just doing the best that they can.
Yeah. Don't ever forget, you signed your soul contract. Your soul chose to come here, be born into your family, be born into this generation for a reason. At the moment, we are all cycle breakers. We are the ones who are breaking that trauma. That's not easy. That in itself is such a difficult task, but you wouldn't be here if you weren't capable of doing it.
For sure.
So bear that in mind. Know that in doing so, you're clearing it for future generations, and be kind to yourself. And I think that's really it.
Yeah.
I like that. Good job. I'm going to do the reflection question.
Go for it.
Wait. Me too.
Yeah, go. I'm going to eat this hot cross bun.
Okay, but I don't know what the reflection question is. I don't know why I just said that.
I love how confident you were just then.
Well, you set yourself up. So I'm going to be eating this and I'll stop when I'm full.
Okay, guys. You know what? I'm going to use that example from earlier. I want you to take a moment to look at the patterns that are happening within your family, the ones that you can see, and identify what is yours and what is not.
Bye, guys.
Bye.